Amen. You're very welcome. Do you know, we've started, our theme for the year is out of Isaiah 55. You will hear me saying this every time I get up to preach. We boiled it down to what we believe God was saying to us, that His ways are not our ways and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we boiled that down into a little phrase for liberty. It was, if you do it God's way, you get God's results. It doesn't matter if you do it your favorite preacher's way, you do it self-help way, or pop psychology way. If you want God's results, you have to do it His way. That's the only, you can't do it your own way and blame God on not getting what you think you should have. Because God is only on His agenda. He's the creator. He's God. He's king. He's the leader and we're the followers. Amen. And so we've spoke a couple of things over the last month, and right now we're on, what's mental health God's way? How does God look at mental health? What has God got to say on the issues? What has God got to say about the issues that causes mental stress and mental unhealthiness? And we've been looking at this for the last couple of weeks, and we've been laying the foundation for this. Rob is preaching in Bray tonight at 6 o'clock, and you know, whatever Rob brings is going to be brilliant. I know that. And so that will be, I go out and I get fed out in Bray tonight. But there's many things that cause us distress mentally. And a lot of us, whether we like it or not, no matter where we come from, wherever our background is, that what causes mental problems for us is that we believe certain things about ourselves. In fact, we believe a lot of lies about ourselves. We believe what might have been put into our minds or into our hearts as young people, as kids, as adults, things that we've done or failed to do, speaks something into our lives. You know, they used to say, if you talk to yourself, you're nuts. I believe you're nuts if you don't talk to yourself. See, the Bible teaches us to talk to ourselves. David says, bless the Lord, O my soul. I'm telling me what to do. Amen. And many more. And I told you about a book I was reading. I picked it off a little bookstall, and it was called Let's Just Laugh at That Lie. And I didn't get the laughter thing I was told you to do, I was going to get, but I'll get it next week, hopefully. But we need to start laughing at the lies that tells us something about ourselves that is not true. There you go. Let's just laugh at that lie. Me and Paul won a competition. I was putting the makeup on. And that's what he turned out like. He's like the Joker out of Batman. Let's just laugh at that lie. There's lies that we believe. And I want over these next couple of weeks, in fact, we're giving 8 weeks to this. This is how important this is. Because if you have control of your mind, your behavior will follow. Amen? And we dealt with that. And I started to look around on some, I told you, I took some of the contributors to mental health issues from World Health Organization, different organizations that deal with people that struggle with thinking and how they see themselves. And it's pretty heavy when you do the reading. And I'm not going to do the reading for you guys. I've done it to get myself some education in this. But a lot of people believe this. I am a failure. And I want to tell you, that's a big fat lie. In fact, I believe that's so much of a lie, we need to start laughing at it. Maybe we can laugh as if we really believe it's a lie. You failed to laugh the way I wanted you to. But I started to look around at some forums and some boards around mental health. And I realized the amount of forums, the amount of people that chat on internet around this stuff is incredible. I looked at some forums around suicide, anxiety, depression, family dysfunction, teenage problems. And one of the huge amount of talk that is on it, they give a lot of talk and they give a lot of stories and they give a lot of live chat from people who believe and are living out of this place that they feel, I am a failure. It's incredibly crippling. It's incredibly sad. It happens to people from all walks of life. Most live with it as a silent friend. People that are on these forums and on these chat rooms, they really have, at least they have a platform. But most people live with this silent friend, a shadow director, an accuser, a voice that highlights mistakes and screams out every time we fail in something, "See, you are a failure," and confirms what may have been said. Listen to one of these, a letter from a young man into one of these forums. And things are going to get better, by the way. This is a bit. He says, "I'm 17 years old. I'm a loser. And I'm a failure. I don't have any redeeming qualities and can be described as insecure, self-centered, whiny, shallow, pessimistic loser who will never achieve anything and is full of anxiety. In fact, my parents agreed. They told me I am a failure. My motivation is very low and my parents are a little delusional because they think I can get into university or something like that. It's even sadder by the fact that I'm the only child and my parents are the only ones I can compare myself with. They are heavy overachievers. My dad was able to move us to Canada and work his way up and eventually buy a nice house in where we currently live. He's currently trying to create an international business. My mom was number one in an optician program at college, which allowed her to get a great job. While I am a no one, I can't do anything right. I'm stupid. I am a failure. I try to escape the real world by playing video games all the time because at least I'm okay at that. And it allows me to imagine that I'm a much better person than I am. I don't believe that being a loser or a failure is just a perspective. There's actually some criteria for it, and I seem to fit it perfectly. There were lots of things I tried to change, like trying to get a job, like being positive. I failed. You know, I cry a lot. Literally, even though I cry a lot, literally, even though I am a guy, my dad said, "Stop crying, you're like a girl." But I can't. Every time he yells at me for being lazy or how I can't achieve anything, tears rush down my cheeks. I wish I could stop. I wish I could. But I end up getting aggressive and angry. I really hate being alive. It's something that I thought about putting an end to for as long as I can remember. I think some particular people would be saddened by it, though. But most would just say, I knew. I never knew him, so who cares? Because such is the world we live in, nobody cares. What an incredible, sad letter for a 17-year-old to write. And yet I know that that's not just in a 17-year-old's mind. The thoughts of being a nothing and a nobody. When people fail or believe this lie, "I am a failure," it brings untold mental problems. Believing the lie that "I am a failure" creates spaces for this to be reinforced by so many situations. When you believe the lie, "I am a failure," you open yourself up for every type of failure that you do to confirm and to reinforce. And even worse for some people, like this young man, his parents seen the situation and made the huge mistake of confirming and affirming, "Yes, you are a failure." I'm sure not intentionally. Some parents might say it out loud. He or she might never amount to anything. Teachers have been known to say it. Or at least ignore the ones who they think has no chance to succeed. When we don't get a job, that interview that I went for, "There you go, I am a failure." When my kids don't do well at school, there you go, I'm a failure as a parent. When relationships break up, there you go, another broken relationship, another failed marriage, another failed business. Always confirming. We use words about ourselves. See, we speak to ourselves whether we like it or not. It's just, what are we actually speaking to ourselves? Will determine what we think and what we live out. We use words like, "I'm a total wreck of a person. It will never happen for me. It might happen for everybody else, but it will never happen for me. I'm a jinx. I'm clumsy," meaning I get nothing right. We say things like, "I just keep getting it wrong." There you go, I'm a flop. Another mistake. I might as well end it. Because I keep blowing it every time. I'm going to mess up everywhere along the line. When we live in this, we feel embarrassed, angry, fear, shame, despair. We feel dirty, unwanted, unworthy, because we act foolishly. when we've hurt someone deeply out of this, all we want to do is know that, do they still love us or have they blown it completely? I want to tell you something. There's a huge difference between a person that says, I have failed 3 times, to the person that says, I am a failure. A huge difference. If failure is an event, not a person. But when we believe the lie, we go, the events, we miss out that it's an event and we go, I am a failure. No, we may have failed in that situation, but that doesn't make me a failure unless we believe that. Failure doesn't mean that you've blown everything. It means you've had hard lessons to learn. Failure doesn't mean you're a permanent loser. It just means you probably weren't as smart in that situation as you thought you were. It doesn't mean you should give up. It means you need the Lord to show you the next step. It doesn't mean that God has abandoned you. It just means God might have a better plan for you. Failure is an event, not a person. Now here's some of the assumptions that we need to laugh at. Because when you read the assumptions behind the law, you go, I don't believe that. But yet you do because you're acting out on it. And when you see them on paper, you go, that's laughable. Listen to some of the laughable assumptions behind this law. That God views my past mistakes. God views me only through my past mistakes. Now when you know the Bible, you know that's laughable because he doesn't view us through the lens of our past mistakes. He views us through other things, which we'll get in a minute, but that's one of those laughable things. We know that. Here's another laughable assumption behind this lie. Others may recover from their mistakes, similar to maybe the ones I have made, but I cannot recover. That I'm the only one in the world. Everyone else has made failures, but they can recover, but only I can't. Really, that is laughable. If I fail, then it proves I'm a failure as a person. I do not have what it takes to succeed. Who told you that? Who told you haven't got what it takes to succeed? Who sowed that lie in? When God came to Adam and Eve in the garden and he said, why did you hide? He says, we are naked. God says, who told you that? We have to find out the source. Who told us that? Because more than likely, like it was the liar in the garden, the lawyer will want to speak things into our lives. I've made this mistake too many times to be forgiven or to expect God's grace to help me. That's one of the laughable assumptions behind it. That I have drained God's grace. Get over ourselves. We're not all that. It's all me, my fault. No one else can have the grace of God because no one wore it down. See, it is laughable, isn't it? What about this other assumption? Every time I take 1 step forward, I take 2 steps back. What a lie. Whoever said that second part to that? Whoever came up with, yeah, you take 1 step forward, but you're going to take 6 back. And you know what we concentrate on? The 6 that we take back. Do you know what we live out of then? The 6 that we take back. Do you know what we remain in? Saying, I am a failure. See? Taking a step forward is amazing. Just ask the person that stepped into Teen Challenge and is now free. Just ask the person who life was full of hopelessness and gave their life to Jesus, took that step. Ask me my story when you're finished. 1 step, 1989, 22nd of March, 9:40, National Stadium, Reinhard Bonnke. Went up, gave my life to Jesus. 1 step. Here's another laughable assumption. God may not have given up on others, but he's given up on me. It's hilarious when you think of it. God might have said, he mightn't have given up on all the bad boys, but he's given up on me. Nobody's laughing at that one. Because of my past failures, I cannot have a significant future. We need to laugh at that. Because of my past failures, I cannot have a significant future. If they're the assumptions behind the lies and the laughable assumptions, then what's the truth? Here's the truth, that past failures do not create your identity, and nor do they disqualify you from having significant impact in the future. Let me say that again. The truth is that past failures do not create your identity, nor do they disqualify you from having a significant impact in your future. In the Bible, Peter, who walked with Jesus for 3 years, denied Jesus. Denied. He says, no, I don't know him. I had nothing to do with him. 3 times. Get away from me. I have nothing to say about this man, Jesus. 3 times he denied him. It says, and Jesus had told him that this was going to happen. And the cock crowed 3 times. And Peter remembered what Jesus said and ran off. Now, Peter had an event where he failed. And Peter could have well thought, and I'm sure he did at times, maybe it's over for me. How could I deny Jesus? But yet you see in Acts, Jesus, in John you see Jesus restoring Peter. And in Acts you see him impacting the future of the whole church. Your past mistakes is not held against you and will not stop you from having a significant impact in the future. Just ask Peter. What about Moses? We love Moses in this place, don't we? Well, do you know what Moses did in his past? He murdered a man. He went out one day and seen an Egyptian beating up a Hebrew. And he went down and he killed him. And he buried him. And Moses then had this significant impact on the whole history of Israel. Your past mistakes doesn't have to keep you from having a significant impact on the future. The Bible's full of these people. What about David? Committed adultery. Got the woman's husband murdered. Well, that's it over for you. You look at how much you failed. You are a failure. Yeah, he gets up, repents, turns to God. And God says about David that he's a man after my own heart. We still preach about David. We still talk about David. Every time there's an insurmountable situation, what do we call it? A David and Goliath situation. We still talk about him. He still has an impact when you read his life on our lives. Amen. Even Samson knew the power of God, the strength of God, and failed miserably. And you imagine when he was brought into that Philistine camp in town and on the treadmill, they used to bring him out, the man of God. They gouged out his eyes, blinded him. Can you imagine what he felt at times? I could have done great things for God. I could have been someone in the kingdom of God. I could have been, but look at my past failures now. It has me going around a mill, pushing this stone around, brought out every day for all the people to laugh at him. The man of God. How can I ever call on God again? How can I ever do anything for God again? He refused to believe a lie, because I'll tell you why. He prays one day to God. Oh, sovereign God, he says, one more time. One more victory. Let me rise up and take out this army that is against your people. And the sovereign Lord answered him. And the sovereign Lord says, amen, that you are not a failure. You may have failed, but you are not a failure. You may have had situations where you didn't come up trumps, but you are not a failure. And I'm going to fail. I'm going to show you so. I'm going to come down upon you again. You're going to know the power of God like you did before. Their failures doesn't have to determine whether we have an impact in the future. Amen. I hope that's good news. So what's some of the strategy for overcoming this lie? Here's one of them. Believe that God sees you through the lens of Jesus' death and resurrection and not through the lens of your past. The first point is strategizing. Believe that God sees you through the lens. He sees you as a new creation. He sees you as an overcomer. He sees you as someone that is born anew. He sees you as someone filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, equipped by the Holy Spirit. He sees you as someone that is beautiful, wonderful, created in his image, someone that he knitted together, formed together, someone that he called out of darkness. He sees you with a hope and a plan and a future. He sees you with a hope, a plan, and a future. He doesn't look and go, oh, I made a mistake. I meant to call someone else, but you were just in the way that day. I believe that God doesn't see me through my past sin or my past failures. He sees me through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And I don't know whether I'm theologically correct, and you can correct me after. But one of the pet hates of mine is, I hope this is theologically correct because Gary is here. Kicked out of the assemblies of God. No, I'm only messing. But something cringes in me personally when someone says, Jesus, no, the Father doesn't see you. He only sees Jesus. I don't find that in the Bible. He sees me. He knows me. He called me. He understands me. He gets me. He's not like, oh, you're so ugly, so bad, or I have to see you through Jesus. That's what it says, that you're so wretched, or I can't look at you and see you and have... He came down and was a friend with Moses. As a man sees his friend face to face, so did he see God. It's like that. It's confirming. Yeah, you are a failure, and that's why you can only look at you through Jesus. He sees you as a new creation. He sees you in Christ, in the victor, in the blood, in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He sees you as a victor, in the one who had victory over all things. And the church, we can't be confirming that old lie of the devil that you're a failure. And we confirm it in ways like this. No, God sees you and knows you. He knows the worst about you and loves you. He sees us in our muck. He sees us in our pigsty. And he still calls us. Amen. He loves us. Come here, you big, beautiful thing. Here's what God sees about our failures. This is what the psalmist says. As far as the east is from the west, so far as God removed their sins from us. How far? As far as the east is from the west. You go and try and measure that. We go, God, remember? I don't remember. It's not that he has amnesia. He chooses to forget. He goes, no, I don't. Lord, remember that sin? What sin is that? Well, do I need to beat myself up? Do I need to call myself failure, 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 so that I feel bad enough, then I can come back into your presence? No, my son already took the punishment for that sin. When we turn to God, he forgives us and rewrites our history. You end up sending people out to Lesotho and out to Belarus. And you end up able to serve kids breakfast in Clondalkin. You end up being able to be an encouragement to somebody. He rewrites it all. He writes the story of God that's over our life. He makes our mess into a message. That's what he loves doing. That's where the testimony is. I messed her up. God came in and gave me hope, and I want to give hope to other people that messed her up. So believing God sees you through the lens of Jesus' death and resurrection. You're a new creation. That's one strategy to overcome. Second is overcome by stop comparing yourselves to others. If you try to be someone else, who's going to be you? Celebrate your uniqueness. Celebrate who God made. Celebrate the personal call of God on your life. Celebrate who God made you to be. Not like comparing ourselves all the time. Because when you compare yourself to someone else, because you're not them, that will confirm, well, I'm a failure. Just be you. Let's just have an agreement. Just be you. Just be wonderful, beautiful you. You don't have to try to be anyone else. You don't have to walk a talk. You don't have to talk a talk. You don't have to have a swagger on you if it's not you. Just be you. Because if you're not you, who's going to be you? Who is? And when I tell you about liberty, here's the thing about Liberty Church. You can be you here. And if you want to put a swagger and you haven't got it, I want to tell you, we all see you haven't really got a swagger. And we still love you. We still get you. We still want you. You don't have to come in like, I'll just dress it all up on the inside, I'm decrepit. We see you. I told three stories last night too. Who was in my house last night? Simon and Emma. Was it you guys there? I built the three Stevens. No, someone else. It was the American Debbie. Yeah, it was. I told a story about three Stevens. You couldn't believe, honestly, how. I'm trying to be quiet because I don't want to put anything wrong on their mental illness. But they were nuts. Three people that were the craziest people. And you know what I said in the end? They felt right at home with us in Liberty. Because the reality is, we're all a little bit nuts. So you don't have to hide. We serve a real God who will do real things in your life. He needs us to be real with our stuff. He just needs us to be real. Oh God, this is who I am. So it's all right to be you. Overcome by not comparing yourself. Celebrate you. Look yourself in that mirror. That mirror is out there for a reason. I bought that for a reason. Bought it during the boom, by the way. If it was in these days, there's a little mirror down the back of the thing, you know. Share that on the way out. I want to build a little makeup mirror. Only joking. I preached the message. This is what we came with this church. Who do you say Jesus is? What Jesus are you going to present to this world? A half-baked Jesus, a powerless Jesus. It was a real challenge to us. Then when we got through that, the Lord says to us, now who do you say you are? One of the most important questions is, who do we say Jesus is? The next one is, now who do you say you are? Because whoever you say you are is what you're going to live out and what I'm going to live out. So I bought that mirror as a blessing or a torment. For those who are not willing to look at ourselves and go, like, I am who God, I agree with God. Those who are still hiding, they will run by you. But those who know who they are and God will walk by you. Like myself, check out these shoes. All I'm doing is agreeing with God. Amen. Overcome, celebrate. Trust this his part. This is a strategy for overcoming that lie. Trust that God uses all things for your good. When hearts are turned towards Him, even our mistakes, even the things that we failed at in life, God turns them for the good. The scripture is true that Patrice read. He who began the work, you or I didn't begin it. He did. And He's not a cowboy builder. He doesn't leave a job halfway through. He doesn't cut corners. I will make you what I've already said you are. I've said you're a new creation. You're going to live as a new creation. He will do it. You have to trust that God. Well, look, I've made another mistake. That makes me a failure. No, that's a lie that we're going to laugh at, isn't it? Amen. Last week we spoke. Great sermon last week. Going to laugh at that lie now, are we? One of the things God said to your man with the coat, Joseph. He said, he gave him a dream. Joseph, you're going to be a leader. God showed him the outcome. God showed him, this is the end result. You have to have the end result in mind. God's dreams, God's passion for it has to be there. Because along the way, when he got thrown into the pit, you think he wasn't thinking I failed. But he kept his eye on the goal. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this, but I'm going to get out of this because God told me the end result. And long-term goal will give long-term range goals will keep you from getting frustrated with short-term failures. Long-term, God said this, and you get thrown into a pit. But His declaration, His belief, caused faith to be generated within Him. I don't know how God's going to get me out of this, but I have faith in God that He said this, and I will get out of it. It doesn't matter what this looks like now. It doesn't matter if it looks like failure. I'm going to get up because He has a plan for my life. You have to have the long term because that helps you from getting frustrated with the short term mistakes that we'll make along the way. So at the end of all of this, we're going to give you a declaration to renew your mind. We'll put this up on the website as something on the blog this week. Declarations over our lives is vitally important because we're declared in something. You're nuts not to talk to yourself. We're declared in something. We're agreeing with something. We have to agree with God's word. I remember like there was a whole movement in the Christian world and they'd call it blab it and grab it. You just blab it and it's God and we'll grab it. And all turned out that it was carnal, it turns into carnality. I want to say that I want the big car. I'll blab and blab and blab and say it and say it and say it, and then I'll grab it. It's mine. I'll name it and claim it. And I'm not talking about declaration or that. Declarations is powerful in God. It's not about blab or grab. It's not even about fake it till you make it. I'll just say it and fake it and fake it and fake it. And we don't do fake, yeah? You're allowed to be you. But I came up with a word. I want us to declare it till we wear it. And that keeps us from living in denial. Because if you're not wearing it after a time of declaring it, you have to question what you're doing. Are you with me? See, Joseph was given a coat. His father was saying, I declared his favor on you. And he wore it. And everyone seen the favor on him. Look at your man with his lovely coat again. His brother got jealous because he was walking in the favor of the father. But when he was down the pit, he hadn't got the coat. But he was still wearing the favor. He still knew that he was favored of God. The coat was something that he walked around with that affirmed that at the beginning. But when that got into his bones, he wasn't just wearing it on the outside now. He was wearing it on the inside. Are you with me? So you declare it till you wear it, or you confess it till you possess it. Now, this is what God has said over my life. I am not a failure. And I think we put up there, this will help renew your mind. When that light comes in, you're going to have to declare, which one am I agreeing with here? Because wherever I agree with is where I will act out. And you might think it's stupid. You might sound your own voice declaring this. Believe me, it is powerful. It's powerful. And yesterday morning, I got up at 7, and I had to do this for 2 hours. My mind was being bombarded. And it was only when I got up and says, I am a man of God. I will do great things for God. Something changed in me. And then something changed in my atmosphere. And then something changed in my day. Amen. So you declare it till you wear it. This is what the Bible says. God said this, let the weak say they're strong. See, when we're living out of a lie, we say, no, the weak say they're weak. And when the weak say they're weak, they're always acting weak. But God says, no, you declare that the weak say they're strong. And let the weak say they're strong till they're strong. Until they're acting in a strength. Because God says, if you declare what I say, I'll release the power behind that. You activate it. That's what he said, you say, let the weak say they're strong. Let the poorest among you say they're rich. That's what he says. So it's very biblical. So let's stand. I'm going to put up this declaration. We'll put up on the website. You can take it for this week and you can declare it over your life. This is one of the things that I would say. You try it. It's not a sermon, guys. This is not a sermon. We don't do sermons in this place anymore, don't we not? This is something that can set us free. Or if it's just something we hear on a Sunday, we call it a sermon. Well, then that's all you're going to get out of it. But if you see it as something that is equipping you to be all that you are in God, you take it down and you start applying it to your life. The truth that sets you free is applied truth. Not heard truth alone, but applied truth. So can you put up that next slide? So I'm not a failure. I am successful. And I make a positive difference in the lives of those around me. Try saying that for the next couple of weeks. Try saying every day I succeed more and more at fulfilling God's purpose in my life. Try saying God works my past failures into something glorious. Try saying I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You declare it till you wear it. And I want to say over us today, I want us to read it. I want us to listen to our voices out loud. And Father, I pray that as we declare what you, this is what God says over us, by the way. I didn't just make them up. It's not some positive confession type of thing. It'll make me feel good. This is God's word. This is what God teaches about you and me. This is what God declares and says over us. This is the way he views us through his lens. And it might feel like you're like, well, I failed last week. Yeah, get up. That doesn't make you a failure. That just meant you had a failure. And all the last 2 weeks, you probably said, I'm a failure. I'm no good. Look what I've done. Look what I've done this. I didn't do this. Now you declare it. You change it with this. Because that had power, hadn't it? That negative confession had power, hadn't it? Did that beat you into the ground? Of course it did. When you see the power of God's word. So let's say it all together. I am successful and I make a positive difference in the lives of those around me. Every day I succeed more and more at fulfilling God's purpose for my life. God works my past failures into something glorious. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Amen, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Father God. Father, I want to declare it over the church and release it into this body that they are more than conquerors. Father, I pray this week. I pray as we walk down the stairs. Look in the mirror. Just look in the mirror. Those who run by it, those who can't look themselves in the eye, look in the mirror this week. Get on the website. Get this confession. Make up your own confession from the Word of God. What He says about you. And tell yourself that.